It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
It is time. Welcome back, everybody. Week one. We finally made it here. Welcome back to Fade the Chalk. This is the episode, the premier episode every week, the DFS Game by Game podcast. My name is Adam Pfeiffer. It is Thursday, September 9th. The NFL season begins tonight between the Dallas Cowboys and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We won't touch on that game. If you want, you know, content and analysis for that game, there's Showdown articles. I believe David Jones and Derek Brown are doing, I don't know why I called him Derek Brown, like I've never called him D-Bro before, but they're doing a live show for Thursday night's game. But to join me to break down the first slate of the year, the 13-game main slate in the NFL for week one, it's Chris Meaney. Follow him on Twitter at Chris Meaney. Hopefully you're already watching Mean Streets, one of the best shows you can find. Always tuning in. Right, and it's perfect because it's right around lunchtime while I'm eating lunch and taking notes. Meaney, it's exciting times, man. Thanks for joining me. How are you doing? How excited are you?
Yeah, respect, brother. I'm fired up. Yeah, I'm pumped, man. It's finally here. We've been doing so much just draft prep, you know, leading up to this moment, and it is finally here. And I'm just looking forward to doing this with you as often as I can. And it's going to be fun, man, to roll through these game by game and talk some DFS. And like, you know, I mean, the pricing has been out for weeks, We've had so much content already over at FTNDaily.com. I know you've already dove into everything as well. And a lot has
I had to do a value article, and it's like, yeah.
Where do you start? Yeah, I mean, the pricing has been out on DK and FanDuel for weeks now, and a lot has changed since then. It's going to be a very unique week because of all the value and all the opportunity. And I know we're going to talk ownership and things like that, and, you know, Fade the Chalk, right? Things and stuff like that. But I don't know, man. Like, it may not be a chalky week, like, because there's just so much value, or I don't really think you need to worry about ownership all that much this week. But yeah, looking forward to it, man. Pumped that it's finally here, and let's get after it.
Yeah, I mean, we really shouldn't waste any time. Like I said, we're going to talk about the main 13-game slate. We'll have plenty of analysis content for Thursday's game, if you're listening to this before that game kicks off, Monday's games, Sunday night game, all that stuff. So let's get to this. This is a very fun slate. I started taking notes like last Sunday. Like, it's exciting times. So let's start with the Eagles. I know you're very high on this, a lot of the players in this offense, so I'm interested to see your take on them here in week one. They travel to Atlanta to take on the Falcons. Really no injury news here, so that, you know, and you're not going to see a ton in week one, but Jalen Hurts at quarterback. Let's start with the Eagles. I mean, Jalen Hurts 6400 on DraftKings. I mean, the floor ceiling combo is obviously there, right? I always go back to that game against Washington last year where he went 7 of 20 passing, had an interception, no passing touchdowns, and still had over 17 fantasy points. What do you think of him with the Eagles here? There are, and you don't have to stack Jalen Hurts, but there are avenues to stack DeVonta Smith. I know you are insanely high in DeVonta Smith this year, only 4,500 on DraftKings, and you'll notice a trend with the rookie receivers. They're all super affordable in week one.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I'm not too high on Philly overall, but I do like Smith and I like Jalen Hurts. It's going to be an interesting duo. I mean, the two are very familiar with each other, having played together at Bama and already hooked up in touchdown passes in college. I mean, Hurts just comes with this safe rushing floor. I mean, he averaged 68 per game, 4 starts last year, 3 full games. He was pulled in that game, which you mentioned, week 17 against Washington, 272 rushing yards in his 4 games, at least 60 in 3 of the 4. His very first start against the Saints, he had 100 yards on the ground. The Saints hadn't allowed a 100-yard rusher in almost 4 years, and he did it, and Miles Sanders did it as well. So, you know, you see his rushing prop at 40. It's like starting with a free touchdown. That's what's so nice about the floor. And the upside is there too, because he had 2 games with 60 rushing yards and 300 passing yards. There's only been 4 games by a quarterback. Like, Steve Young did it 4 times, is what I'm trying to say. 4 times he did it. 300 passing yards and 60 rushing yards. The fact that Hurts has already done that twice, and I see D-Bro tweeting about that all the time, it is kind of remarkable. You see the completion percentage is not great. The offensive line last year was atrocious. It's coming in healthy, at least. It's a good matchup here against Atlanta in a dome. Both bad defenses. We could see a potential shootout here. The Falcons allowed the 2nd most fantasy points to quarterbacks last year, the 9th most rushing yards to the position, and 6 rushing touchdowns, which was 2 off the league high. So I think at this price, you know, he's not my favorite quarterback, but he's a guy that will give you a solid floor, and there's a ceiling there. And for Smith, he's just cheap. There's a lot of unknowns. You know, I think, you know, watching him at camp and a very limited role in the preseason is a guy that can get off the line pretty easily, and that's rare for a rookie wide receiver. And he is going to be the number one target. I do believe that both tight ends and Ertz and Goddard will be mixed in here, but I think Smith is the reason I liked him so much. Is just the value that you had in drafts where he was going as wide receiver 40. And now we're here in week one where you can get a number one option on an offense that's going to be throwing and playing up tempo. Last year when Hurts took over, they were played up tempo. It was like top 10 in terms of just the pace of play. So they're not going to play to a slow pace. And I think Hurts will lean on Smith right away. And the price is appealing. I like a lot what's going on the other side with the Falcons. But those are the two that I'm totally interested in. You're right. You don't need to stack them. Hurts could have a couple rushing touchdowns. And maybe he throws for 250. Maybe he doesn't even throw a passing touchdown, which would kind of surprise me. I think he throws one or two here in this game. But you could just, you know, the whole ride naked, naked Jalen Hurts. You could do that. You could do that with a lot of rushing quarterbacks. But it's a very cheap stack, you know, Hurts and Smith.
Yeah, like for me, it's only Hurts and Devonta Smith from the Eagles. Like Miles Sanders is kind of getting some steam this week. I don't get it. The Falcons were legitimately a really good run defense in terms of like yards per carry and yardage. Like I understand Miles Sanders is talented and broke off a ton of long runs last year and the offensive line's better. But where he's priced, there's other running backs I like more, and I'm not going there with the tight ends on this slate. For the Falcons, I mean, how do you not? I understand Eagles secondary's improved, right? Darius Slay's still good, but I don't worry about him with a player like Calvin Ridley. And it's just the splits. I mean, the splits without Julio Jones are just ridiculous. You look at, you use the FTN's fantasy splits tool, which you need to be using, especially for DFS. It's so helpful. You go back to 2018. Julio Jones has missed 8 games, and Calvin Ridley's played in those 8 games. He's averaging 11 targets, 7.2 receptions, and over 107 receiving yards per game. I mean, this secondary, I understand they're improved, but like Calvin Ridley is going to see a 27-30% target share this year. Like, he's a great play. And I think Kyle Pitts is going to be kind of popular on this slate. Just you look at the tight end position. If you're not going up to Kelce or Kittle, Waller's not in the slate. Where else are you going? And I look at this. I understand he's a rookie in his first game, but matchup wise, the Eagles linebackers don't have a shot against Kyle Pitts, and not many teams linebackers will, but I think especially the Eagles. So Kyle Pitts, it's tight end is easy for me this week. If I'm not going all the way up to Kelce or Kittle, I'm probably going to play Kyle Pitts, or I'm just going to completely punt the position.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely agree. It's Kelce or Pitts or a punt. And he's going to be one of the, both of these guys, and Ridley and Pitts are going to be chalky, but I think it's chalk that I'm totally fine eating that chalk and just getting different elsewhere because there is a lot of value. This is one of my favorite games. We'll get to, obviously we're going to roll through some of these, but it would probably be top three for me. I think there's a lot of points.
I didn't even mention it. It's 48.5 right now with Atlanta 3-point home favorites in the dome. So
yeah, I mean, there's a 52.5 total. There's a 49.5 total. And then you got the KC and Cleveland one that's 54.5. So this is one of the, I mean, the Saints and Packers has jumped up a little bit, 49.5. So this is a top five game in terms of just totals for the main slate. And I think you're spot on with Miles Sanders. Like in the past, you were able to get running backs who caught balls out of the backfield against the Falcons. You can go back 3 or 4 years, right? You go back to when they were in the Super Bowl and they had allowed more. I think it was like 50 more catches running backs had against the Falcons than any other team. And you saw James White ate them up in the Super Bowl. And that was just a trend that continued over the years. And even last year, top 10 in running back catches allowed, I'm seeing like 89 here, is still among the leaders. The Bucs actually led the way, which makes sense because you can't run on them. And it's just Miles Sanders has had the drops. He had drops last year. He has drops here in camp. They kept Boston Scott on the roster. So I agree with you on Sanders. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what else is there to say about Calvin Ridley? He's probably my favorite wideout on the slate. I think he hits the century mark. His career highs across the board for him last year in catches and targets and yards. Fifth in ADOT, fourth in air yards overall. 41% of his team's air yards. You gave the numbers without Julio there. We had a large sample size of him facing top coverage. And he's, you know, you mentioned Slay. He's not the old Slay. So it's a matchup that he can beat. Fifth in ADOT. Yeah, he's a guy
three,
that
we'll talk about it. There's three corners. There's three corners that I like actually worry about, and it's Jalen Ramsey, Jair Alexander, and obviously Tre'Davious White. But other than that, and even that, like I'm not going to like completely take a player out of consideration, but like those are the three corners where I actually start to say, okay, like maybe we go somewhere else. But Darius Slay, like, he's good, and I understand these guys are good players, but like Davante Adams, DK Metcalf, they destroyed him last year. So Calvin Ridley, is he in the Davante Adams type tier? Probably not, but he's better than DK Metcalf.
Pretty close, man.
And he's better than DK Metcalf as a player.
Oh yeah, so. For sure. I think he's really close to that Adams tier. It's absolutely just, I mean, Adams is an absolute beast, and him and Rodgers, what they've been able to do, it's like just, you know, kids playing catch. It's pretty remarkable to watch. And if this is the last go, you know, there'll be fireworks for sure. But for Calvin Ridley, yeah, I mean, it's just, I think he hits the century mark. I think he gets the bonus on DK. I think he gets 100 yards. Matt Ryan led the league in passing attempts last year. He's been top three in passing attempts in each of the last three seasons. And if the Eagles defense, I think the Eagles run defense is going to be fine. It's last year, there was moments where it wasn't great, but they've been among the best over the past couple of years in stopping the run. So I don't think that the Falcons are going to have too much success with Mike Davis or Wayne Gallman or any of those two guys running the rock. I think, you know, Matt Ryan's probably going to drop back 35 plus times in this game. Maybe even 40 plus throws for him. So Pitts is another guy. You're right. You're going to see it right off the hop. You hear it from a lot of people. Oh, you can line up anywhere. It's a mismatch. It's true. It's not your typical tight end. He's a big body. He's explosive after the catch. You run people over. He's going to be an issue for a lot of teams, and we're going to see it right away in week one. I like the Falcons a lot. I'm not really getting to Matt Ryan, which is weird, but it does make sense to go maybe Matt, have a, you know, mini Atlanta stack here with a Ridley and a Ryan or a Pitts. And I'm overlooking Russell Gage, but I don't know if you have any interest in him.
This game's pretty juicy for fantasy, but like I don't want to play either running back, especially Mike Davis. I mean, the Eagles last year, even when the run defense wasn't as good as the years prior, they still, you look at some of the advanced rushing defensive numbers from FTN Fantasy, 52.6% of the runs against the Eagles last year went for 4 yards or less. So like they stuffed the run. I'm not interested in Mike Davis or Miles Sanders, really, especially where Sanders is priced. It's really just both quarterbacks. I don't even want to say both quarterbacks. Like, if you want to stack this game, play Ryan with Ridley, totally makes sense. But it's really the both, like, number one passing options on each team, yeah. And you throw in Kyle Pitts as well. This next game, though, I love. Jacksonville at Houston. Total for this game, as it stands right now, is at 45.5, which seems low, but then you remember Texans offense is a little bit concerning. Jacksonville 3-point favorites on the road. So shout out to Houston Texans being that bad to be 3-point home dogs to Jacksonville. But this game, I mean, I'm struggling not to load up on Jacksonville here. I mean, you look at this matchup across the board, right? We're going to be targeting players against Houston all year. We know that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But their run defense, especially, like if there's 2 weeks to play James Robinson in DFS, it's this week and the next time he plays Houston. Like, the matchup is that good. You look at last season, 38.5% of the yards allowed by the Texans last year came via the run. That was the second highest rate in the league. And just under 44% of the touchdowns allowed by the Texans came via the run. That was the fourth worst rate. And they can't tackle. They allowed the most yards after contact per rush last year. And they were sixth in missed tackles. I mean, James Robinson, I understand that Carlos Hyde is probably going to play a little bit more than we'd like. But again, if this was last year, he'd be like a top five running back on the slate. There are some question marks now with Carlos Hyde and Urban Meyer there. But still, if there was a week to play James Robinson, it's this week. And those missed tackles and the yards after contact numbers I mentioned, they bode well for Laviska Shenault as well. It was only 5K on DraftKings. And he might get overlooked because that would be a value on a normal slate. But as we talked about, there's 3K receivers that are values. There's 4K, 4,500 receivers. So let's get 5K, even though the matchup's great, especially when you have three receivers on this team that are in play, really good. And then Marvin Jones, the first thing I noticed when I looked at the slate, when the pricing launched 2 months ago, was Marvin Jones at $3,600. By the way, Marvin Jones, elected captain, which makes me feel all the things. So
yeah, and it should. He's the vet, and I think he's going to lead the team in targets. I think he's going to lead the team in yards and touchdowns. Chenault is going to, you know, maybe threaten for targets, and having Travis Etienne not there is actually beneficial to Chenault. You may think why, because
nobody's talking about that. I brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up. Nobody's talking about that.
Urban Meyer wasn't lying, man. He's lining him up in the slot, lining him up out wide. He was going to steal some catches. And I think we can just feel a little bit better about Laviska here getting some targets in the slot and being a big part of this offense. You know, I like this game from, you know, it's interesting. I think a lot of people will go to Jacksonville, and I like it. It's really hard to trust Houston, but there could be some targets there for Brandon Cooks. But all the players that you mentioned, I mean, James Robinson, this is part of it, what we talked about with value. Like Robinson with no ETN, if this the pricing was out a month ago and ETN's been, you know, he's out since then. If ETN like wasn't on the roster, the injury happened before, he would be priced much higher, at least maybe high 6'8", 6'9", 7'1", 7'2". The offensive line is not great, but a lot of the volume he's going to get. And you just had all kinds of great stats about the Texans. But yeah, 5.2 yards per pop, the most in the league, 24 rushing touchdowns, three off, the most in the league, 40. There's seven runs of 40-plus yards, which was the most in the league as well.
40, like not 40 20, plus. 40.
40 plus. They had 20, they had 17 20-plus runs against them, which did rank inside the top five. The Jags were number one and the Bengals were two, Cowboys and then Texans. But 40-plus runs, like that happened seven times last year. And it's going to be a team that we pick on all year, you're right. And they're going to start trading veteran pieces away and it's just going to be a complete mess. The Texans. I like Marv Jones though at 3.36. How could you not? He mentioned the captain there. And I thought Trevor Lawrence looked his way quite a bit. I know DJ Tarek didn't play in the preseason, but seven grabs for 93 yards. He had nine targets in two preseason games. Texans, really good spot through there. You can run on them. You can throw on them. They allowed the second most yards overall, fourth most touchdowns to wideouts, the eighth most catches to the position, and the seventh most fantasy points to wideouts too. And Jones will probably be pretty chalky. I think the pivot could be Chenault. But I think Marv has a day, man. I think he ends up with 70-plus yards here, and I think he finds the end zone.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a surprise who one of the first players I put in my first build lineup was. But I do love LaVisca Chenault, too. Like I tweeted I think, on Monday. Like, everybody knows I love Marvin Jones, but I think LaVisca has a huge game here. Trevor Lawrence is, like, kind of a little bit more expensive than I thought he might be. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with it because you can obviously stack him a bunch of ways. But there are other quarterbacks, like he's right around Hurts, Ryan Tannehill, Kirk Cousins. So it's going to be interesting to see, especially, you know, it's Trevor Lawrence. It's the number one draft pick, but still his first start. So, James Robinson, we mentioned Miles, like I'd rather play James Robinson over Miles Sanders and some of the other running backs. I do like him quite a bit. Chark is like fine, but like he's pretty significantly more expensive than both Marv, well, definitely Marv and LaVisca Chenault. So that's kind of like, if you're stacking this game, yeah, but like, I guess the question is, do you run it back with anybody on Houston? Jacksonville allowed 10 different 100-yard receivers last year, was the most in the NFL. They brought in Shaquille Griffin from Seattle, CJ Henderson in his second year, so they'll be a little bit improved, but I think Brandon Cooks could be kind of sneaky here. Like, nobody else, like, yeah, sure, they brought in Danny Amendola. Yeah. Like, they just keep, they literally keep switching all different slot receivers. They're going to have every slot receiver from the NFL by the end of the season. I'm convinced. Brandon Cooks, like, I get it. It's the Texans are gross. They're the gross team of 2021. If I am bringing it back with anybody, it's very easily Brandon Cooks. And then I'm just completely staying away from the backfield and any other player from this team.
Yeah, I agree. Cooks, I suppose, is interesting from a volume standpoint. I mean, you know Tyrod Taylor or Tyrod Taylor more than anybody. There were some games there, I believe, in the past with Sammy. He's not a guy that, you know, typically if that first read is not there, then, you know, he can tuck and run. He doesn't really check down to
he's
to
very
running
risk
back,
averse.
So.
He won't force throws.
He won't take a lot of shots, but he may not have a choice, right? If this team's going to give up a lot and Houston's saying that they're going to be run heavy and use all their running backs, and that's fine to say, like Lindsey and Ingram and Mixon, Burkhead and DJ catching balls out of the backfield. But at the same time, like they're going to have to throw. I mean, they can't be down 25 plus and, you know, running the rock on third and nine or something silly like that. They're going to have to throw the football. I don't think I'm going to get there with Cooks, but if you are going to bring it back with somebody, it probably would be that guy for sure.
The clear consensus is Jacksonville, yes, Houston, no. And that'll be a trend. As you know, if this were a different slate, maybe you can go to Tyrod at 5,300, but there's rookie quarterbacks that are cheap. There's another quarterback we're going to talk about in this next game that's cheap. So we'll have to kind of wait and see with the Texans. But if you're a Texans fan, you might want to play more fantasy if you hadn't already. Just put it that way. New York Jets at the Carolina Panthers. Fun game here, week one. I'm actually really excited about this game for fantasy, for real life. I think it's going to be very interesting. And it's obviously led by Sam Darnold, who, after being traded from the Jets to the Panthers, Week one, first game as a Panther, revenge game. 44-point total here. Carolina is favored by 4 at home. Sam Darnold is a value quarterback that I wrote up. He's 5K on DraftKings. This is obviously a very good matchup. We've talked about run funnel defenses and pass funnel defenses a lot. This is a pass funnel. Jets, or run funnel, I guess, whatever we want to look at it. The Jets, the last couple of years, they have slowed the run down at an elite level, but they've given it up through the air. I mean, this is a really bad bottom three secondary. Last year, the Jets allowed 2.1 passing touchdowns per game, only second worst to the Lions. This is a good spot for Darnold. The pass catchers he has, like, the Jets have no shot against DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, let alone Terrace Marshall and, of course, Christian McCaffrey. I think Sam Darnold is the value quarterback for me on this slate if you choose to spend down at the position.
I agree. Yeah, we're on the same page here. I gave a few plays over at FTN YouTube page, and I was trying to hit people high and low at each position, and this was my my low value play in Sam Darnold. Everything is set up for him to succeed. It's funny that it is a revenge game. I kind of like it. Why not? Your first game with Carolina against your former squad, and Adam Gase, who kind of slowed you down and limited weapons that the Jets had, and you know, now he's in Carolina with Joe Brady, and you know, he got his boy Terrace Marshall in the draft, a nice weapon for him to use. Obviously very familiar in what he can do on the football field, and then DJ Moore, who you alluded to, his old buddy Robbie Anderson, plus Christian McCaffrey catching balls out of the backfield.
He's good.
Pretty good. A lot of success, man. Like, everything is built for Sam Darnold to, like, he doesn't have to do too much here. Take care of the football and just get the ball to his great pass catchers and watch them pile up the yardage after. Like, they're all pretty explosive after the catch. And he's in for a career year, and he wouldn't even have to do much to have that career season. So I like him at 5K. I think even Zach Wilson on the other side is interesting at 5K, mm-hmm. but Sam Darnold, I think, has, you know, more upside here. And this is probably a game he's really looking forward to taking it to his old team. It's going to be a fun one to watch. And I find myself liking this game more than maybe I should. I know a lot of people, I think I tweeted it last week that, man, I think I like this game quite a bit. And it's like, why?
I mean, there's only one.
No points in this score. I think there will be some points.
There's only one spend up, and it's obviously McCaffrey, yeah. But it's like, The Carolina receivers are very affordable. DJ Moore, 6,100 on DraftKings. Robbie Anderson, 5,700. And then it's the rookie receivers, right? Terrace Marshall's 3K. Elijah Moore, I believe, is 3K.
Yeah.
And Jamison Crowder might not play in this game. He's dealing with COVID. So that'll look
Corey Davis
up.
Is 4.9. Like, that's a
decent. I mean, Corey Davis,
too.
I think he ran 13 pass routes during the preseason, was targeted on 10 of them. Obviously, Elijah Moore wasn't playing, but still, I mean, he's clearly established himself as the number one here and the top target for Zach Wilson. I don't think we need to talk about McCaffrey with as much value as there is on the slate. Put him in your lineup. He'll probably score 30 fantasy points.
That's what he does. Yeah.
And the Jets running backs, I don't think we're touching. They're going to use 4 of them probably to start the season.
Yeah.
D-Bro made fun of me. I don't hate Tyler Croft at 2,500.
I don't either. We're on the same page there. He was another guy that I said, if you're going to punt, why not? I mean, they traded Herndon and they cut everybody else, did they not? Like, Griffin is cut. Is he the only tight end on this roster right now? Is Brown on it? I don't know. Like, at 2,500, I mean, it's a punt that I can get behind.
Yeah, I mean, especially if Crowder doesn't play and Elijah Moore, you know, incredible player, but it's his first game.
Didn't get a lot of run in the preseason either.
Yeah, exactly. Like, very possible he's not full-time player right away or just isn't 100% in terms of, you know, being ready for the NFL. And Tyler Croft, like, during his time with Cincinnati and Buffalo and stuff, it's like, okay, he wasn't running routes. We don't care about him, but he's running routes now. He has to run routes. He has to play snaps. At 2,500, that's all you're looking for, a chance to score a touchdown and a chance to run some routes at tight end. So, yeah, I will be playing Tyler Croft in some lineups. I will be expecting 2 for 12, but if he scores, we'll see. And then, like, I didn't really talk about it much, but DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, they're going to be able to do whatever they want against the secondary. It is one of the best kind of just overall, like, it's one of the biggest mismatches in fantasy this week. The Jets secondary versus these Carolina pass catchers.
Yeah, they both have pretty plus matchups. Robbie Anderson, probably going to see like Bryce Hall and Isaiah Dunn maybe on DJ Moore. Like, those are pretty solid matchups. I like both of them. I think Anderson is that guy who maybe has more upside to score a touchdown. But also what I like about DJ Moore, and I know I think we all like him at FTN. I mean, how could you not like this guy? Is that he's so explosive after the catch that he can take one to the house. And we've seen it a couple times and just like a little cut and then he's gone. And that's pretty valuable, you know, in DFS. If, you know, they can take one to the house and it's like a 60-yard TD, and then you just, you know that there's a really good chance that you can get that bonus or you can get over the century mark through the air. So both of those guys are great. And just looking at the wide receiver cornerback matchup tool, just to hammer home the point that we like Corey Davis. And I just loved what Zach Wilson said, you know, in one of the post games that when he sees him on the side and it's one-on-one coverage, he has a lot of confidence that he's going to win that battle. And that he said, quote, like, and I hope that Davis is confident in me that I'm going to get him that ball. And that's what I like. I mean, it's a young quarterback who does have some high upside and is going to go through some growing pains, but the offensive line is solid. And, you know, sometimes we see with these young quarterbacks, they're locked in on vets and guys that they can trust. And we're talking about Elijah Moore, who we both like overall as a player this year, but maybe just takes a little bit of time to get going. And Jamison Crowder, who's not 100%, and Mims is kind of fallen down the depth chart. So I think Corey Davis, like, if I'm projecting targets, like, he's going to finish in the top 10 in targets. Like, Davis may be probably one of those guys. Dante Jackson, it's a plus matchup. You know, according to Jeff Ratcliffe and our wide receiver cornerback matchup tool, it is the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th best matchup on the board for a wide receiver. So a pretty good spot for him right away.
Let's move on to another very interesting game. Minnesota at the Cincinnati Bengals. This game, two of the best matchups you'll find this week, Justin Jefferson, you could throw in Adam Thielen too, and then Dalvin Cook. I mean, the Bengals secondary, they gave up a ton of production last year with William Jackson, who's a top 10 corner in the league, in my opinion. He's gone. Trey Waynes is out for Cincinnati. Not that he was someone you were absolutely worried about. I mean... Justin Jefferson is going to smash. He's going to face, what, Chidobe Awuzie. Like, there's nothing the Bengals are going to be able to do to stop him. The same, and by the way, the Bengals last year, you look at our, we have so many tools, man. You mentioned the wide receiver cornerback matchup. I'd like to use the advanced DVP where it shows how many points per game a team allowed to the receiver on the left side of the formation or the right side of the formation or the slot. Last year, the Bengals allowed 13.3 points per game to the receivers on the right side of the formation, 5th most in the league. Justin Jefferson lined up both sides, but that'll just tell you Thielen and Jefferson, both really strong plays here. And then, I mean, Dalvin Cook, man, you talk about correlation. 14% of Dalvin Cook's carries last year went for 10 plus yards. That was the 7th highest rate in the NFL. The Bengals last year, 14.9% of the carries against them went for 10 yards or more, worst rate in the league. So Dalvin Cook, man, like, on FanDuel, I think he's a better play than McCaffrey.
He's $1,000 cheaper.
Yeah, and obviously no PPR there, or not full PPR there. But, like,
yeah,
on DraftKings, it's a little tough. But I still, you can get whoever you want. But, like, Dalvin Cook for me, like, if McCaffrey is, like, the one on this slate for you, I don't think Dalvin should be 2. I think he should be 1B. Like, I think he's that close to McCaffrey on this slate.
Yeah, I agree. I have him ranked number 1 this week in the rankings over at ftnfantasy.com. I mean, they're both studs, but I like the matchup a little bit more. I was looking at the gash rates too. You're right. There's so many tools to look at. You can get just lost in days, but the gash rate 14.99%. Yeah. Highest in football. Just a really good spot. Overall, you look at some of the other metrics, like 5.1 yards per attempt is number 2. 20 runs of 20 plus yards. It was the 2nd most. The fantasy points, I mean, they coughed up fantasy points to the running back position last year. 8th most in the year before that, top 5. 148 rushing yards per game allowed. You know what the Vikings want to do. I mean, they're going to run the rock. Yeah, they can exploit the secondary, and they will do that as well in times, but they want to run the football, and there's not a lot of running backs that we can project right away in week one. It's like, yeah, you know, 20 plus touches, maybe a couple catches out of the backfield, which is what Cook can do. So it's a really good spot. You mentioned the salary savings. I mean, $1,000 on FanDuel is significant, I think. And on DK, I think he's a pretty good pivot off of CMC. So Cook is probably my favorite, one of my favorite high price players altogether on the slate.
Yeah, and bringing up FanDuel, like, I want to go back real quick with Trevor Lawrence. I mentioned how he's a little bit more expensive on DraftKings. FanDuel, I wrote about him as the value in the value article. He's like the 18th priced quarterback. Like, play him there for sure. Yeah. Jefferson, I love. Thielen, I like. Nobody else from it. I mean, if you want to go Cousins, if you want to stack this game, I get it. But he's kind of priced in that range where it's like, yeah, we've seen Cousins not have a massive ceiling. And that was with him throwing 40 plus times, way more than he really ever has with Minnesota last year. The defense is better. And that brings us to the Bengals offense, where I think a lot of people are going to play Joe Mixon. I'm going to tell you right now, and if it comes back to haunt me, so be it. I will not make a lineup with Joe Mixon, and here's why. There are running backs in that range I much rather prefer who will probably see similar workload, and this Minnesota run defense could be really good. You look at their front four, you have Everson Griffin, you have the elite Danielle Hunter. They get Michael Pierce back, who opted out last year, who is a very good run stuffer, and then they brought in Dalvin Tomlinson from the Giants. I think this is a bad matchup, and I get it. We keep hearing Joe Mixon is going to be on every down. I kind of want to see it first. And for me, like, the play I want to look at from this team is T. Higgins, who, again, was in the value article, just too cheap, 4,700. He's, for me, the number one on this team right now. Minnesota secondary, it's a little bit improved. Patrick Peterson's there. He's not the Patrick Peterson he used to be, but, like, T. Higgins showed me a lot last year. And you look at his numbers last year, like, his numbers massively dropped, and it's not surprising, when Joe Burrow was out of the lineup last year. Obviously, the Bengals offense, you know, Burrow had some issues in the preseason getting back from the injury and things like that, but we know this is going to be a pass-heavy team. I just think the price tag on Higgins is very appealing, and again, you look at the splits. Last year, with Joe Burrow in the lineup, almost 8 targets, 70 yards per game. Without Burrow in the lineup, 6 targets, 46.5 yards per game. Newsflash, Joe Burrow will be in the lineup in week 1. I like T. Higgins, and that's really it from the Bengals. Like, am I crazy for not liking Joe Mixon?
No, you're not. Man, you and I are on the same page.
They're cheap, though. The Bengals are very cheap.
Surprise. They really are. All 3 of their wide receivers are extremely cheap, and it's surprising to see T. Higgins, the cheapest of the 3 with Boyd and Chase on DK. Over on FanDuel, he is the most expensive wide receiver among the 3. So it seems like they got it right over there on FanDuel, but not so much on DK. It'll be interesting to see how the ownership shakes out. I think Higgins will probably come with the higher ownership, and then Jamar Chase with everything with the drops, and then report came out today. I mean, the white lines screw him up, can't catch an NFL pass. Like, I don't understand what's going on.
He debunked that, by the way.
Oh, did he? Okay.
It was Pro Football Talk that reported it, so you had to take it with a grain of salt in the first place.
Of course. And
then he retweeted, he quote retweeted it.
He didn't even say that. They just said that. They just reported on that without, like, the quote from his mouth. Like, what?
So that was
there?
The report, right? The whatever with the football. Yeah. Jamar Chase, I saw it like half hour before we got on the podcast. Jamar Chase, like, quote retweeted it and said, "All I said was the ball is different."
Yeah. Come on, man. Pro football. Yeah. I mean, what a joke. Should have known that myself, but I actually didn't see the report from them. I just saw people talking about it on Twitter. But I mean, nonetheless, T. Higgins is, I think you said it perfectly. I don't know how much more I can add. The deep threat in this offense, you know, the first 2 weeks was a 0 and a 6, but is it obviously a young rookie wide receiver playing with a rookie quarterback and a new offense. It just, you know, needed to take some time. And I think the first 2 weeks was just AJ. Oh, right. AJ can't give us anything
anymore.
Yeah, it
really was.
How about this T. Higgins guy? So the next 7 games after those first 2 duds, he had double-digit points in each of those 7 games, 18-plus in 4 of them, and he hit 20-plus in 3 of those 7 games. I like him, too. I think he's in a pretty good spot here. And, you know, you can talk about mixing all you want with the opportunity and the carries. I want to see it too. And, you know, the line doesn't do him too many favors, but 18 for 54 isn't totally appealing, 3 yards per attempt. 24 for 59 last year, 2.5 yards per attempt. The one game that he had over 3.6 was against the Jags, 25 for 151. So, like, okay, you took advantage of his soft opponent. The Eagles, 17 for 49, 2.9 yards per pop. Cleveland, 16 for 46, 2.9. And then the Chargers, 19 for 69, 3.6. So he was catching balls out of the backfield, especially when Gio was gone. And I'm not saying to play this guy, but I think, you know, people are going to really find out how good of a pass catcher Chris Evans is. He has made unbelievable catches throughout the entire camp. He's been talked about a ton, according to beat writers in Cincinnati. I co-hosted and I produced a podcast over at The Athletic. Hear that podcast, Growlin', with Paul Daniel Jr. and Jay Morrison. And I've been listening to those two this year talk up Chris Evans, is that this guy is going to get on the field on third down. It's not a luck that Joe Mixon is going to get those targets and get those catches. He can. I think people that are Mixon fans want that to happen. But Evans is a really good pass catcher, and he made a couple highlight reel catches, not just in preseason, but in camp. Like, he is honestly getting a lot of rave reviews. So again, I'm not saying to play him, but don't be surprised if he shows up this season and he's a reason why Joe Mixon is not getting 40 plus catches this season. So I'm off of him as well. And this team is going to continue to throw the football, I think, quite a bit. 40.4 passing attempts per game last year for Burrow is number two in the NFL. And I think he's going to be right around that number again this year.
Yeah, I liked watching Chris Evans at Michigan too. So
yeah, man, he's a good catcher. People are gonna find out about him real soon.
Yeah, like Mixon's cheap. If like I'm not saying he's a bad play, I just think this matchup is a lot worse than people think. I think Minnesota's defense as a whole is gonna be better, but I think their run defense could be like really good with Michael Pierce back and Dalvin Tomlinson there. So, but yeah, the Vikings. I think the Vikings will be pretty popular. Obviously, when you have Dalvin and Jefferson, maybe yeah. Thielen goes a little bit overlooked because everybody's on
absolutely
Jefferson and Dalvin Cook. Let's move on to the San Francisco 49ers and Detroit Lions. This game's interesting because we have the quarterback situation with San Francisco. I mean, we saw in that final preseason game, Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo pretty much split snaps. And after the game, Kyle Shanahan said, like, that's something we're going to look to do this year. Now, Trey Lance right now limited in practice with, what does he have, like a chip in his hand?
Yeah, I think he got the splint off, but he's right. Still not 100%.
I mean, I'm not playing either quarterback, but I will say I think we're going to see, like, Garoppolo play the majority of the snaps with, mm-hmm. with Trey Lance mix in a little bit, if at all. But for me, like, it's obvious, like, the skill players here for San Francisco, Detroit's not quite on Houston level, but that's another team we're going to be targeting a lot. You have Raheem Mostert at 5,800. This is a time to probably play Raheem Mostert because A, he's healthy, and B, it's the beginning of the season. So I don't think we're too worried about Trey Sermon just taking over that job. And then, I mean, Brandon Ayuk, 5,700, Debo, 5,900. The Lions defense is terrible. They allowed the most points per drive in the NFL last year, just under 3 per drive. So Kittle, Ayuk, Mostert, like, what are you doing with San Francisco here?
Yeah, this is interesting. I think I like Mostert. I wonder if people will shy away from him because of Trey Sermon and the possibility of Trey Lance getting in there. We saw it one time when he came in a red zone package and he had the rushing touchdown. He capped off a pretty, you know, impressive drive between him and Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think we may see that at times this year where he's coming in, especially inside the red zone. But I am interested in Raheem Mostert. You're right. You said it perfectly, man. He's healthy right now. We have a young running back in Trey Sermon. It's such a smash spot. I think the Niners, 7.5-point favorites here is the second biggest, favorite on the main slate. And just a team in Detroit where, like, how much offense are they going to be able to produce? The Niners defense, I have some respect for. They're getting some guys that are a healthy back and that can do some damage and get after the quarterback. And Jared Goff in his first game makes a couple mistakes. Like, San Fran may just be set up perfectly with great field position through most of the game. And that does benefit, I think, the ground game. I look at running backs typically when they're favored by more than a touchdown if they get up here and they start running the rock. I think Sermon probably finds the end zone too, but Raheem Mostert is, I already have the bet over at ftnbets.com for him to find the end zone. A league high 27 rushing touchdowns last year, 134 rushing yards per game. I mentioned the high team implied total here too. So if they get up big, they probably run the rock, and that's what they want to do anyways. They don't trust Jimmy G. I know this is a game. Maybe they can say, okay, Jimmy, if you want to throw the ball, go ahead. But if, like, over the past couple of years, when this team is at full health, they're running the rock and they're running it really well. And Mostert's a pretty good back when he is healthy, catching a few passes, get some goal line touches. McKinnon and Wilson led this team in red zone rushing opportunities last year. Those guys are gone. So it is just going to be Mostert and Sermon here, I think, in week one. Yeah, I have a little bit of interest. I don't know what I'm going to do with everybody else. Like, I don't think I'm in on Kittle. Ayuk is not 100%, but it does sound like he's, you know, trending in the right direction. Yeah, he returned to practice to full capacity, so he does sound like he's good to go. Like, the matchup is so good for them just to, you know, sling it around the field and score some points, but I just think they're going to run the rock a lot. So I don't know, man. I may shy away from most of this game in general. I don't know if that's a mistake or not. Mostert's going to be in a couple of my lineups.
Yeah, I don't think it is because, again, like, I think there's a higher ceiling for targets with T. Higgins at 4,700 with, yes, LaVisca Chenault at 5K. Like, I talked about my concerns about Brandon Ayuk for redraft and draft season. He played 3 games alongside Kittle and Debo last year. His targets were like just over 5 per game. Like, he's a great player. He's very good, but we'd be blind to not notice that a lot of his production came because he was getting double digit targets down the stretch. Because A, not only were Kittle and Debo out of the lineup, but B, San Francisco's defense was depleted last year. Their secondary was hurt. Their pass rush was hurt. If they're healthy this year, they're going to be back to like a top 10 defense, and they're not going to be trailing in games like they were last year. So you can still play Ayuk here, absolutely. But like, it is interesting because like you see a matchup against Detroit, it's like, okay, play everybody.
Yeah.
But you got to understand the offense as well and the change in overall what the team may look like this year. Anybody in Detroit at all?
Oh, man. I don't think so. I mean, Tyrell Williams is sitting there at 4-4, but there's just so much. Like, there's value. Yeah, right? There's value across the board here that you just don't need to do it. I think he's definitely going to be the number one option there, but it's just there's no need to get cute like that on week one. The quarterback play is going to be pretty bad, I think. You know, Hockenson is a guy that's probably going to get a lot of targets, but how many points is this team going to score? I'd be shocked that they scored 14. So I just don't fully see the upside.
I'll put the ceiling at like six, like they'll lose like 27 to 16.
Yeah. I got a blowout here, man. I'll let it kind of play out. I know people are excited about Amon-Ra St. Brown, but I mean, I followed his usage in the preseason and it wasn't all that exciting, to be honest with you. I mean, he wasn't getting in on any three wide receiver sets. He was getting taken out, slot.
Khalif Raymond was playing a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. He was playing over him and Cephas was playing over him too and getting some time in the slot more so. So Amon-Ra St. Brown, if I'm projecting like snaps, I don't see him playing over 60% of the snaps. In fact, I think it'll be pretty disappointing right away. It's going to take some time, I think, for him to get near the 70% threshold in terms of snaps played. So I'm no thanks. I'm not interested in Swift or Jamal Williams either.
Let's go to the game of the slate without question. Arizona, Tennessee.
Oh, baby.
This game is juicy. 52-point total. Tennessee favored by 3 at home. You have two teams that were inside the top 3 in no huddle rate last year. You have two of the worst secondaries in football. You have three of the best receivers in football, and you have two awesome fantasy quarterbacks.
Yeah.
What is there not to like here? Listen, AJ Brown, first player I put my lineup when I built my early build lineup. Arizona, their secondary is bad. They don't have anybody that can slow him or Julio Jones down. They play a ton of man coverage under Vance Joseph. That probably isn't going to change. AJ Brown last year, top 5 in yards per out run, receiving yards, receptions against man coverage, 7,100. One of my favorite plays of the entire slate. Don't sleep on Julio though. Everybody likes to worry that Julio, like, can we stop with like these? Elliot tweeted it too. And I talk about this every year. Like, people freak out when a veteran doesn't practice on Wednesday. I'm like, do you guys understand? It's a rest day for veterans is Wednesdays. Like, let's not push the panic button. This is a smash spot for AJ Brown and Julio. It's weird. Like, you look at this game, Derrick Henry is like my fourth favorite play from this game, and maybe the sixth if you're not counting the quarterbacks. Like,
I know
it's weird. It's weird. But I'm all in on Tennessee's passing game, and we'll talk about Arizona in a second.
Yeah, me too. Absolutely, I love Julio at 6'8" Yeah, he's underpriced, and yeah, I mean, you said it perfectly as well. And I was talking to Elliot about that, and I said it on Mean Streets here today when it came to Austin Eckler, who I don't know, maybe he is trending in the wrong direction, but. Friday's the big day, and he dealt with a knee injury last year, and he's been off of it, and there's no worry here at all. I expect him to be a full go. He's 7-1, as you mentioned. The price is oh so nice. And Ryan Tannehill, man, Smith is gone, and people are talking about the offense maybe being a little bit different. It's just, how do you stop this three-head monster? What are you going to do? Bring a safety over the top to deal with Derrick Henry, and you're going to leave some one-on-one coverages for AJ Brown and Julio Jones? Like, and Tannehill's been one of the best play-action quarterbacks in the league since he's taken over mid-2019. Whatever moment it was that he took over in 2019 for Marcus Mariota, he's been the third-ranked quarterback in fantasy football. I know Patrick Mahomes missed some time, but he had more fantasy points than Mahomes over that span. Only your boy Allen and Lamar more fantasy points than him over the that run. So I like this. There's so many different ways to go with this game. I think I'm just going to completely game stack with, the wideouts and mix and match with Kyler and with Tannehill and just kind of take value in other spots. But this is my favorite game. We're probably not breaking any news, Pfeiffer. Like, I think a lot of people are going to like this game, but there's a lot of reason to like it. And I think, both of these teams are going to be teams that we target nonstop because you said it. It's the secondaries, like the no huddle, sure, but the secondaries too are like, they're not good. Arizona is gonna have some issues this season stopping the pass. So yeah, I mean, Tennessee is a great game stack in week one, or team stack.
Yeah, and like Tannehill, this is the other thing about Arizona, and this is something I've learned over the last couple years when playing DFS for football. Ryan Tannehill is not running like Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray or Jalen Hurts. He's not. But he gives you rushing. The Arizona Cardinals blitz at one of the highest rates in the NFL. They play man coverage at one of the highest rates in the NFL. And as a result, the last couple of years, they've given up a lot of rushing yards to quarterbacks. In fact, last year, they gave up the most rushing yards per game to quarterbacks, just over 28 per game. When you're blitzing, and if Tannehill can step away from the blitz, and then you're playing man coverage, so all the defenders' backs are turned, you'll see quarterbacks run against this Arizona team. So don't sleep on that with Tannehill. I wouldn't be surprised if he had like 30 rushing yards in this game to add on to that. Tannehill is like legitimately one of my favorite plays of the slate. Love A.J. Brown against Robert Alford and anybody else they're going to have to throw out there. I mean, their secondary was bad when Malcolm Butler was still in the league, and now he's retired.
You know, good call on the sneakiness that Tannehill provides on the ground. Like, he may not get, I don't know.
It's more so rushing touchdowns because I don't have an advanced metric for this, but I want to say Ryan Tannehill has the easiest 3-yard touchdown runs in the NFL's history because of Derrick Henry.
Sure, absolutely. There's no question. 8 rushing touchdowns last year and, you know, 38 rushing yards, 55, 21, 35, 20, 42. Like, these are some of the games where he provided, just another element to the fact where he can air it out to these two goats that he has in Brown and Julio. Yeah, it's going to be a fun offense to see exactly how this plays out. If maybe they scale back from Derrick Henry a little bit, but the efficiency goes up. I don't know how more efficient he can be, or, you know, having 2,000 yards on the ground last year. But yeah, this is going to be the success, right? It's the perfect recipe for it, because they have a lot of questions on defense. Like, I have a lot of questions for them. They're not a team that really generated a lot of pressure last year, and there's some holes in their secondary. So they're going to play in a lot of shootouts, man, which makes it pretty, you know, fun for fantasy. You want to be targeting the Titans and the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, also mentioned Arizona blitzing a lot. They were 4th in blitz rate last year. Ryan Tannehill, 6th in the NFL in passing yards against the blitz. I love him. I love Kyler. Love DeAndre Hopkins. I'll give a little teaser. You can check out our rankings at FTN Fantasy. My wide receiver 1 on the week. I don't see Tennessee being able to stop him. So you want to stack this game. I mean, Tannehill with AJ Brown, run it back with Hopkins. Rondell Moore, 3K. Love him in this game. We saw them manufacture touches for him during the preseason. Yes, I know DeAndre Hopkins wasn't playing, but it's pretty easy who you want to bring it back with. The only question I'll have, and you can, you know, touch on Hopkins or whoever you want as well, do you have interest in the backfield?
No, I don't think so. I think, if there was one, it would be Chase. I like the fact that he is going to be, you know, targeted. You know, they just last year, and it's different with Kyler. Like, what Kyler are you going to get? The first few weeks before he had that shoulder injury, he was among the leaders in just carries inside the 5. And then Kenyon Drake was like outside the top 15 among running backs. And then the shoulder injury happened in the last few weeks. Kenyon Drake had more carries inside the 5 than any running back in the league. And Kyler only had 1. He was averaging a rushing touchdown per game over the first 7 or 8 games. He was just, I mean, getting in with ease. So that's why I feel like for James Conner, I feel like he would need to score a couple touchdowns, at least 1, to be like, okay, and feel okay about his day. But if this is just going to be an old fashioned shootout, I mean, we could see Chase. And I think we should give the benefit of the doubt to Chase too. They used him in the preseason like that. Like, hey, it's not going to be fully James Conner here, just carrying the ball on first and second down. We're also going to put in Chase Edmonds here a little bit to carry the rock on first and second down. He knows the offense. He's familiar. You know, at times when he was given the ball more than like 5 or 6 times on the ground, he wasn't all that efficient. There was the one game where Kenyon Drake didn't play in the game the ball a ton against Miami. He didn't do anything. Maybe he's just better suited to be a change of pace back and maybe just 3 or 4 carries and 6 to 7 targets. But I think if I had to choose one, it would be Edmonds, but I don't think I'm totally in. I agree with Hopkins. I mean, he's in such a smash spot. And I loved how they used Rondell Moore in the preseason. They just made a point to get him the ball in the slot, whether it was end arounds, carries. He's not going to be a big A-dot guy. He may not ever be a guy that's like 3 for 70 or things like that. It could be more like, oh, 5 for 55, and maybe he's a red zone option for Kyler. But he's going to be a big player in this offense a lot sooner than people realize as well, because they said before they after they drafted Rondell in Arizona, they said that Kirk would be that slot guy, and they didn't use him at all in the preseason as the slot guy. So I think he's the odd man out. Him and AJ can battle for, you know, outside role, but Rondell Moore is going to be a guy that I think, you know, at 3K he could get maybe 6 or 7 touches in this game.
Yeah, him and Marvin Jones are my favorite value plays of the slate at receiver. He fits the offense perfectly, right? I mean, yeah. Kyler was top 7 in screen attempts last year. It's a huge part of their offense. Rondell Moore, so good on screens. It was a huge part of his game at Purdue. Absolutely love him. And I would agree, if I'm going to play a running back, it's Chase Edmonds. It's not a bad price. And if there's a game to play him, it's a situation like this. But I obviously have some concerns about, you know, because we haven't seen them really their first team offense in the red zone much. That preseason game against the Chiefs they played, they went 3 and out like their first 3 drives, and they rotated series between Connor and Edmonds. Would have liked to see them get in the red zone to see how that was utilized. But when they're going no huddle as much as they do, it might just be some situations where whoever's on the field already, you got to stay on the field. So
for sure, I think Connor's probably going to be the red zone back there.
So do I.
Yeah, but I'm still not overly excited. Yeah,
that's going to be one of the, I mean, there's going to be a million things we're excited to watch week one. That's going to be one for fantasy I'm definitely going to be keeping a close eye on, is that backfield in Arizona. Staying in the NFC West, Seattle travels to Indianapolis. This game, I don't know, man. I'm not thrilled about this game. Carson Wentz looks like he's going to play, by the way. Full participant in practice. Looks like he's on track to start. But Quentin Nelson's probably not going to play in this game. That hurts. Seattle's run defense is actually kind of good last year. They were more susceptible to the pass. But I look at the Colts and I look at the Seahawks passing game. Like, can you play Russell Wilson and Lockett and Metcalf? Absolutely. The Colts play such a zone defense to where they limit big passing plays that I think they're all going to have fine games. You know, I don't know if Russell Wilson and Metcalf are going to hook up for 50-yard plays. Same with Lockett. So for me, like, I think the prices are fair for everyone. But on a slate with so much value, I think you can just find better plays. And then on the Colts, Jonathan Taylor's fine at 8K. I like Najee Harris, for instance, and other running backs who are significantly cheaper, better. Maybe you go to Zach Pascal at 3,700. But like for me, this game is kind of an avoid for me.
I know. I was gonna say the same thing, and I thought maybe, you know, heading in, I'm like, ah, you know, maybe Pfeiffer will just you know, talk me out of it potentially. And we won't go there with this game, but
like I don't think there's a bad play in this game.
I don't think so either. Yeah,
great one.
I agree. I don't think that there's. I mean, there's a lot, especially on the Seattle side. There's reason to be optimistic and excited about this offense if you're a Seahawks fan, and you know, bringing in Shane Waldron, who doesn't have a lot of experience play calling, but he comes from Sean McVay, and all I've heard out of Seattle is, you know, oh my goodness, this is going to be a different offense, and Russell's coming off a season where he threw the ball more than he ever did, and people want him to cook. And I think it's very likely that we could see him cook this season. I mean, the quote from Tyler Lockett is just freedom. Like, we have freedom now to run routes that we have never seen before inside this offense. DK Metcalf said the exact same thing. And Russell Wilson had a lot of positive things to say about Shane Waldron too. So we'll see how, you know, that plays out. If they're going to be a team that right away is just, oh, okay, here we go. We're tossing the football. But I mean, the splits are real when it comes to Russell Wilson, and he is, you know, a really good quarterback, and he can get it done anywhere, whether it's on the road or at home. But even last year, I mean, 25 touchdowns to 4 interceptions at home, and on the road, 15-9. He was just more accurate at home. He seems to be, I don't know what it is, but over the past couple of years, I know Seattle is a very tough place to play. But the Seahawks, I don't have all the numbers to back it up, but I typically find that they're underwhelming on the road. I do have a lot of respect for Indy's defense here. If there was a side that I would lean, it would be to go with, you know, DK and Russell. I'm not going to touch the backfield. They have, what, 5 backs on that roster right now. I mean, I do believe it's Chris Carson, but Penny and Homer and DJ Dallas and Alex Collins look good in preseason, so they kept him on the squad. And in Indy, I think Zach Pascal is interesting at 3.7. I do like him more than Paris Campbell. Paris Campbell was another guy that I didn't like the usage in the preseason. He wasn't getting in there all that often. He was basically running with the 2s and the 3s. Now T.Y. Hilton injury to him will open things up for Campbell a little bit here. But I think Zach Pascal gets more playing time, more snaps, and I think he ends up with more targets. But this is a game that I crossed off my list, and I don't know, man. It's a little nervous to cross off Russell Wilson and company. It
especially
make it weird.
Beginning of the season, Russell Wilson, where he's elite. But for me, like Indianapolis, it's that defense, the way they play. They don't let a lot behind them.
They don't.
So, like, I think Russell Wilson, like, if you're, I'm not sitting here saying Russell Wilson, Metcalf, Lockett, like, they're going to crush your season long team. They're going to be fine. But, like, I don't, and nobody's going to play them on this slate. So, like, I get it. It's just not the direction I'm going. And the Colts, like Jonathan Taylor, we've heard that they're going to use him as the every down back, but then we saw Nyheim Hines is going to get a lot of touches. We saw that report come out. So
he's a good pass catcher, man. He deserves touches. It's frustrating because Taylor is awesome, but he's not going to be phased out of this offense, man. He's top four or five.
Dude, it's the same. We see the situation all the time. It's Jamal Williams in Green Bay. Like it's all these running backs that are they as talented as the running backs ahead of them? No, but they're good. And they're trustworthy, so they're playing, and that's going to happen. And Jonathan Taylor at 8K, I think he's priced fairly, but there's other running backs that are, I think, not priced fairly or correctly, and that's where I'm kind of going. And one of those running backs is in this game, and I teased it. He is probably my favorite GPP play of the entire slate. We'll talk about it. Pittsburgh at Buffalo. Already gave it away, unless you think I'm targeting Buffalo running backs, which I'm not, so spoiler alert. But this game should be pretty interesting too. The 2021 Super Bowl champions start off their run in Buffalo. I probably just jinxed their entire season, but here we go. Buffalo at home against Pittsburgh. Total for this game at the moment stands at, where is this game? I can't find it. 48.5. There's not a lot of lines in this game right now, looks like. Let's start with Pittsburgh. I'll talk about my love for Najee in a little bit, but, what do you think of this offense? What we should expect? This is another team, preseason usage. We saw a little bit of different offensive philosophy and scheme for the Steelers during the preseason.
Yeah, we did. I like Najee, though. Probably my favorite of anybody in Pitt. It's tough to, I mean, last year we looked at Pitt as, you know, Claypool, that deep guy in the offense, and Johnson was the guy who was just underpriced all year long and was getting a lot of targets, right? Say what you want about the drops, but this guy was, like, when he was healthy and playing in games, he was a guy that you can bank on double-digit targets. You know, I really like Najee. I know you're probably going to talk about the Bills, and I think you can run on them. I know his rushing prop is pretty low, but they were a team that they did struggle, you know, with just open field tackling. And I think they can improve this year. But for Najee, I mean, he's underpriced, right? We can just say that. I mean, he's underpriced.
Yeah, it's Najee Harris will be where Jonathan Taylor is. And right now, even without playing a single snap, should be where Austin Eckler is at 7K. Like, we saw
he's
going to
be an 8K running back this year, is he not?
Yes. He might be an 8K running back by week three.
He may be. Yeah, he may be.
Like, they gave him 9 touches in the Hall of Fame game. Like, Najee Harris is legitimately a candidate to lead the NFL in touches year one.
Absolutely. Like, yeah, he was on pace in that game for like 30 touches in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he is my favorite play. I think he's the easiest running back play of the slate, not counting the obvious guys, right? Like Dalvin Cook. But like, you can run on Buffalo, and Star Latulé is back. That's going to be huge. But Leslie Frazier even talked about it in their during the week. Like, they need to get better at tackling. Last year, they tied with the Texans for the 6 most tackles missed. They play a lot. They play a lot of corners on their team. They don't, you know, so corners miss a lot of tackles compared to linebackers. So, like, for me, that's a huge part of it. And it's just the volume. Like, at 6,300, you look at the running backs around him. He's getting more touches than Sanders. He's getting more touches than Clyde. He's getting more touches than Robinson. He's getting more touches than Gaskin. He's getting more touches, probably not Mixon, but it's probably close. So for me, the matchup's not elite. It's not bad. It's I'd say it's slightly above middle of the road, just compared off last year. And I think the Bills defense could be better. It's just the opportunity and the price discrepancy of where he should be. It's an easy play for me. I absolutely will be over the field on Najee Harris.
Yeah, I mean, we have a lot of history, right, Pfeiffer, of just a running back inside Mike Tomlin's offense getting 20-plus touches and being
ridiculous.
Super productive. Yeah, I mean, you go to Lev Bell, you can go to D'Angelo Williams, the time when he filled in for Lev Bell, too. He finishes as a top-5 running back in fantasy. And Najee is one of those guys who can catch the ball out of the backfield. He's explosive. He can break a tackle or two. He's going to get all the goal line work, all the red zone touches. So you don't have to worry about anybody coming in and stealing opportunities from him either.
And the Bills play a lot of zone. So
they do play a lot of zone. Yeah.
Check down city.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, and he's probably a guy that catches 50 balls this year. So even if they're not getting anything going on the ground, he's not going to come off. Like, he's going to be on the field, and maybe he falls into a handful of targets. Yeah, I like Harris a lot. I am confused on, you know, I just don't think I'm getting there on these. I have a lot of respect for the Pills D, man, a ton. I don't know if I'm – I think Ben is going to struggle in this game.
Well, like, we don't – you don't love to look at what they did against this team last year, but we have, you know, week 14 they played last year. Right. And obviously they didn't have Najee Harris, but – you saw what, and that was a Sunday night game. So it was, I was going to be watching it regardless, obviously, but,
but the whole world saw it.
The Bills moved Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer all the way up because Ben Roethlisberger couldn't throw the ball downfield. Mm-hmm. They played them all the way up and just said, you know what? Try to throw over top of us. And Teron Johnson, the pick six he had, he just sat on the short pass and just jumped in front of it. Like, the Bills are probably going to do that again. So if that's the case, then you, like, there's going to be an opportunity for big plays. We've been over a year now without seeing that from the Steelers passing game. I think in general, Deontay, and I'm not like, Trey White isn't going to follow one receiver from this team.
Right.
If I had to guess who he spends the most time on, probably Chase Claypool.
I would agree.
Juju's going to be in the slot, but the X factor here is how often do they go 12? We saw them go 12 a ton in the preseason. I think Juju is going to be on the field with Deontay. Deontay's going to be on the field regardless. I think the next receiver on the field is Juju because he's a good physical run blocker. If they go more 12 in this game, Claypool snaps are going to be down. So I'm off Claypool. I'm not really on Deontay or Juju either. I don't think they're terrible plays, but it's just where the, like, I'd rather play the Jets or the Panthers receivers who are in that price range. You know, I'm actually interested in this game. And real quick, we'll move to Buffalo. If you want to play Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs is way too cheap. He was underpriced all last year, and he opens the season underpriced.
I don't get it either. Was he the only wide receiver last year to have four catches? I think four in every game. I'm pretty sure I know he did that.
Yeah, and he absolutely crushed his secondary. That's worse this year because they lost Steven Nelson.
Yeah, that is totally worse. And 130 yards and 10 grabs on 14 targets last year.
Dude, I remember it so vividly. They struggled the first half offensively, right? Come in to start their first drive of the second half, throw to Diggs, and he scores in the opening drive.
Yeah, especially if you're going to, like, back off of him on the line, like, all right, if you're going to leave him 1-on-1, okay. And this is a team, and you're well aware, and I think a lot of people are starting to realize with the Bills, too, is, I mean, they're just pass happy.
They are
throwing the football.
And you think they're going to be able to run the ball against Pittsburgh? I know Stephon Tua is not playing, and JJ, right. the TJ Watt situation, like, I think he's still going to play. I think he practiced yesterday. They're not going to be able to run the ball against the Steelers, and they're not going to. And if they can't, they're going to completely abandon it. They do it every game when they can't run the football. So Josh Allen, even if Buffalo's ahead in this game, he's throwing 40 times in this game. So
this all he did in the preseason. Did they run the ball once
they did not run the ball once.
I was sitting there watching it and laughing and saying, man, I got Zach Moss in a dynasty league right now. Is this guy ever going to touch the rock? I don't know. Like, and why would
it's,
you
it's,
when
it's funny too, because like everybody's like, as it is. Yeah, everybody's like surprised by him sitting like, have you guys not watched Brian Daboll call plays?
Yeah. Well, there's a playoff game where did they run once? It may have been only once.
It was the Colts game. Half. Oh no, it was the Ravens game.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just abandoned it, and they're going to do the same thing here.
I want you to talk to me about Gabriel Davis. Like, maybe not this week, but like Gabriel Davis, man, I got high expectations for them. I think he breaks out.
I think Davis is like a terrible play here. It's just, again, slate specific. There's so much value.
Right.
But like, I'm more interested in Beasley or Sanders because Pittsburgh is another team that plays a lot of zone. And I just think they're going to use like Beasley and Sanders as an extension of the run game here if they can't get Singletary and Moss going. So I actually don't hate Beasley and Sanders. I feel better about Beasley just because he's been with the offense. We know his role. Sure. We saw the connection in that preseason game when Josh Allen played. But yeah, Diggs, he's going to go way overlooked. But like Stephon Diggs, this is quietly a mismatch that nobody's talking about. Everybody's talking about the Titans receivers, the Jets or the Panthers receivers, the Vikings receivers, but Stephon Diggs is a smash play here, and he's too cheap. Obviously, you can play Josh Allen. Not my favorite quarterback play in the slate. I do prefer Kyler Murray, but yeah, I mean, this Pittsburgh secondary is definitely outmatched here. And Gabriel Davis, love. He's good at football. We saw it in the preseason. He's going to have a role. They're going to run four wide a ton still, especially in this game. If they abandon the run, they're going to run four wide a ton in this game.
That's why I have a little bit of interest. And not so much in this matchup. Yeah, just moving forward, I think he's going to be a guy that really does emerge. Like, we have that solid floor in the career season from Cole Beasley, and he knows the offense, like you said. I don't know how much Emmanuel Sanders can really offer this offense, but I thought last year, especially towards the end of the season, this wasn't a guy who was really involved at all. I mean, wasn't getting a lot of targets. And then towards the end of the season down the stretch, he was involved. He was I believe his yards per catch was right there, like 17.1 or something like that off the top of my head. He was the big play guy in this offense, and I think he's going to take that next step forward. But you're right about Diggs being overlooked. I mean, I'm looking at all the wideouts, Adams and Ridley, we like Hopkins, we like Jefferson. Like, out of those top few wide receivers, I mean, this is a guy who is, you know, underpriced for one, just maybe a few hundred dollars potentially. Like, he should be, an AK wideout. Also, probably because the fact that you see the Steelers, and if you're looking on DK and you see opponent ranked ninth in red, people are just saying, no, I'm going to go to Ridley. I'm going to go to Tyreek Hill. I'm going to spend up to on Hopkins or Adams. And that is super appealing to me, especially, you know, right away in week one. The Bills with Allen and Diggs, that duo will be under-owned, and they have just as high as a ceiling as anybody else on this slate.
Absolutely. All right, last 1 o'clock game, and then we have 4 4:20 games. So that's great job, by the way, NFL. Yes. There's nothing worse than having like 2 4 o'clock games, and there's some good 4 o'clock games. So I'm not too interested in this final 1 o'clock game, to be honest. Chargers in Washington. We do have to keep an eye on Austin Eckler, though. Obviously, the news, didn't practice on Wednesday due to a hamstring injury. Everybody's like pointing to his tweet, like after, about, you know, being hype and stuff, saying he doesn't sound like a player that's not going to play. Obviously, we'll see Thursday and Friday, but right now, I don't think it's too serious. If he were to miss this game, obviously, that would impact Justin Jackson at 4K, maybe Joshua Kelly or whatever. But for me, and I'll swing it to you in a second, like, this game's kind of easy. Keenan Allen's underpriced at 6,900, and Antonio Gibson's underpriced at 5,900. Neither are in smash matchups, but they're both just too cheap, in my opinion.
Yeah, they are. They are too cheap, especially what we saw from Keenan Allen with Justin Herbert. He was one of those guys too. I mean, the consistency wasn't there with Diggs, the same as Diggs in terms of just like a guy who get you four catches every single game, but the targets were, I mean, double digit targets is just something that you could expect from Keenan Allen. I mean, there was one where he had 19, but for the most part, it was double digit looks every single game. You go look at the back of the game log, and there was one there against the Saints who only had two, but he left that game early. And then the final, you know, week 15, he wasn't really involved. I think he suffered another injury. I don't really like this game overall. You're right. I mean, it's two defenses that I respect, especially Washington. I think they're one of the best in the league. So I'm pretty much off of this game. And even if Eckler didn't play, I don't think that I would get to, you know, Jackson at 4K or Kelly at 4K. I know, you know, volume and opportunity is king here in fantasy, but we've seen this story before. Like, Jackson, it wasn't all that appealing when he filled in for Austin Eckler last year. There was a couple games where, you know, he was okay, and I do think he would be the guy there over Kelly. But I will keep an eye on that situation. But I'm pretty much off of everybody here. But Gibson is underpriced. We'll say that at 5'9", he is underpriced. He may not be a guy that catches four or five passes, but he should, you know, get a lot of the goal line work, if not all of it. If they do find a way to, you know, get a touchdown, you know, score one, you know, from the 5 or from the 10, it could be him. We saw that a stretch last season when he was getting all of the work over Peyton Barber, who they, you know, finally cut. But yeah, man, I just don't see this game being high tempo, and I don't see a lot of points. I see, you know, two decent defenses here. I think it's just going to be a kind of like an offensive struggle.
Yeah, I think Keenan Allen's fine. I think Gibson's fine. I was encouraged by how they used him when he was on the field. Like, his touch rate is going to be pretty high. It's just, you know, how often does he play on third downs? It's not like a deal breaker for me, especially at 5,900, but it does limit his upside on a site like DraftKings. I don't like either quarterback in this game. Herbert, yeah, you obviously love long-term, but this is a tough week one spot on the road, traveling East Coast to face a top-tier Washington defense. And then Terry McLaurin priced kind of awkwardly. Like, he's priced fine, but there's a lot of receivers in that range. Mm-hmm. And Curtis Samuel being questionable at best to play. Don't really think it impacts much. I don't think we can fully trust Diami Brown. And there's other receivers at that 3K spot among rookies in better roles. So totally. I think we can move right along to Green Bay, New Orleans. So these are the 4/4/25 games. This game is very interesting, obviously. So we have Jameis Winston starting for the Saints. This game's in Jacksonville, by the way, because of the storm. They moved that a week or so ago. So this game, New Orleans is the home team, but this game will be in Jacksonville. What do you think of the Saints here? I mean, Alvin Kamara, the splits without Michael Thomas since 2018, 8.5 targets, 7 catches per game, over 70 receiving yards per game, like 30 fantasy points per game. I mean, 8,600 against a team that doesn't even try to stop the run. Have to like that. And I understand the offense is different, but yes, Marquez Callaway has been good, but if he sees Jair Alexander in this game, like where else are they going to go on offense?
Yeah, I think Kamara is going to get overlooked here a little bit because of the price for one, and just maybe some question marks here when it comes to just this Saints offense. But I do think, I don't know if Jair will shadow Callaway, but it's possible. It's enough to avoid him. I know he's very cheap, and him and Jameis are both extremely cheap, and they hooked up a couple times in the preseason. And the deep ball is going to be back in the Saints offense for the first time in years with Jameis under center. But, I mean, you said it pretty good, man. The target share from Kamara moved from 19% with Thomas to 25% with him inactive. And we all know the splits between Hill and Breeze. It was non-existent with with Breeze. This was a guy who was averaging 29 fantasy points per game in a full point setting. And with Taysom Hill, 14. 4 targets per game with him compared to 8.3 with Breeze. I think Jameis will lean on Kamara here a little bit. Like he may take some shots with Callaway, but Jair is, you don't want to be targeting Jair too much. You said it earlier, there's a couple cornerbacks that you're worried about, and I absolutely agree with that list. And Alexander is legit, man. So if Jameis is going to want to get off to a good start here. I know the picks are in the back of his mind, and he can't be throwing into Jair's window and throwing 2 or 3 picks here. Like, keep it simple. I'm looking at who's going to be able to step up, and I just don't have a lot of faith in Tre'Quan Smith. And Troutman was pass blocking more than he was running routes. I know. I'm sure Juwan Johnson has been a topic here on this show.
Debro 3K. Absolutely loves him.
Yeah,
I don't know about for DFS this week, but like he thinks Juwan Johnson's going to be this year's Robert Tonyan, which, man, he made some great points. Like we've seen how Sean Payton and the Saints have used Marcus Colson in the slot, who's got a ton of size for a slot receiver. He was tight end eligible at one point. Juwan Johnson was originally tight end eligible. He's receiver eligible. Like he's listed as a receiver. Like I don't know if this is the week to do it, but he's somebody you have to keep an eye out for.
Well, you know what? It may be a week that you can sprinkle like in one lineup here too. Like it's a high total game, right? I think the Saints are going to take a step back here overall, like on both sides of the football, offensively and defensively. But yeah, if we're looking for projecting targets, I mean, who's going to be the guy after Callaway? Maybe Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, for sure. This game, like, Jameis isn't a bad play. I just prefer Darnold. And then for the Packers, stick with what works, right?
Absolutely.
Do you care about anybody on Green Bay outside of the three A's, Aaron, Adams, and Aaron again?
No, I don't. I think there's going to be a bit of a regression for, especially Tonyan in this offense, and, Cobb is back there. That's, I think, part of it. But I'm not interested in Randall Cobb. But, last time we saw him in Green Bay, he was a beast inside the red zone for Aaron Rodgers. Lazard, I can't get behind. MVS is like that deep threat guy. But how many targets is he going to get? It's Adams. It's the three A's that you said. I kind of like Aaron Jones here. He's not one of my favorite running backs, but at 6'8", I feel like he's underpriced just because of the matchup, right? I mean, the Saints have been so strong against the run for years. I mentioned that stat with Jalen Hurts and Miles Sanders, breaking that long run that they had of not allowing a 100-yard rusher. But Aaron Jones he just has a nose for the end zone, man. Like he just finds a way to be very productive. If it's not working for him on the ground, then he catches 5 or 6 passes for 40 some odd yards and finds a way to get a receiving touchdown. So well over 20 touchdowns for this guy over the past couple of seasons. he is, I mean, you can make the case for him to be a top five running back in the league. And, you know, for a guy who can, you know, he's going to be the goal line back. He's going to catch some balls out of the backfield at 6'8", even in a tough spot. I think he's worth, you know, putting in a lineup or two if you're going to play a few.
This might be a dumb question, but I legitimately can't remember. And I was literally on vacation when the slates came out. Was that before or after Rodgers came back to Green Bay?
This was before. Yeah.
Okay.
This,
so this I wonder what his price would be if we had known Rodgers was not leaving the Packers. I wonder if that has anything to do with it. But I agree. Like, matchup aside, he should be, what, 74, 75?
I think so.
Yeah. At least. Maybe you make the case he should be more than Barkley, who we'll talk about in a little bit. But yeah, Marshawn Lattimore, overrated. Don't care. He's Devontae Adams.
Totally agree.
So yeah. Don't really care. Rodgers, another team that might go a little bit overlooked, but we know what they're capable of. And you mentioned like Rodgers, it's such a perfect analogy. Rodgers and Adams in the red zone, it's literally just playing catch.
Oh,
it's
man.
Like our timing's better than yours, and we're just going
to
win.
Like, it's so fun to watch. It's remarkable. Everybody knows where the
is there a more terrifying. I think the two most terrifying season long situations in fantasy for football is facing Derrick Henry when the Titans are inside the five and facing the Packers facing Devontae Adams when the Packers are like, you're just hoping that somebody else or their trick play or something. Like it's terrifying.
I know. Every time I'm up against Adams in season long, I'm like, oh my goodness, just don't score three touchdowns. Like I just know just, that he's going to score.
Like you're getting one already. Yeah. It's like, just don't get two or three more. Speaking of being terrified to face offenses, how about the Kansas City Chiefs? They're at home. I'm sure you've seen their numbers in September are kind of stupid how good they are in the month of September, but they host the Kansas City, or that would be weird. They host the Cleveland Browns. This should be a fun game. Highest total on the slate right now at 54 points. Chiefs favored by 5.5. This is it. Like, is it just me? And I know it's still Thursday, but like the Chiefs have not been talked about much. And a lot of it probably has to do with like, you can play Mahomes, Tyreek and Kelsey all you want. They're great. But this is an interesting game because Cleveland's defense is kind of good. And like where there's a lot of value, the Chiefs are obviously, you know, all 80. They're literally 82, 81, and 8,300 between Kelsey, Hill, and Mahomes. Anything you want to add to the Chiefs? Like, is it just like, if you want to play him, feel free? I guess the only one we really need to talk about is Clyde. He just doesn't really fit for me on this slate, but like, I'm excited to watch him.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch him too. Before he suffered the ankle injury or the foot injury, it was much like what you said about Gibson. Just the usage just seemed to be there. It's like, hey, we're going to use this guy. I am excited about him overall this year. Last year was just such a crapshoot for rookies, especially rookie running backs. You know, learning the playbook and having to protect a guy like Patrick Mahomes. And you know, there was no preseason games last season. And I think these rookies just got behind the eight ball. And then, you know, when they acquired Lev Bell, it's just he kind of took a bit of a back seat. But the offensive line is revamped. I wonder how much usage he will get out of the backfield, but I think, you know, through the air. But I think the same reasons why anybody would have liked him last season, I think, you know, they imply again this year. You got Andy Reid and a running back inside an Andy Reid offense and linked to a top five for sure offense in the NFL. I don't think I'm getting to him though. Yeah, there's nothing that I can add that's like breaking news here. Like these guys in Kelsey and Hill are awesome. There's so much value here that, you know, Kelsey is a guy that I'm going to have a lot of exposure to this season. And he's just so consistent. He's a guy that at least, I mean, 82 yards in seven straight games to finish the season. He had seven touchdowns over that span. He's just an absolute monster. So he's a guy that I probably, when I look overall at this Chiefs team and I see the high total, it's like, man, I don't know how much I'm going to have of Mahomes and Hill and Kelsey or Mahomes and Hill. And that is pretty scary. But Kelsey's a guy that's locked in for me. Like you mentioned earlier, like, where are you going to go? There's no Waller on this slate. You're either punting, you're taking chalk pits. Like Kelsey he's just so darn consistent and I'm going to get him in there. Yeah, no question. I'm playing CEH.
Yeah. And Cleveland, like their defense is better on the back end and their pass rush should be good, but the middle is still the weak point. Last year, they were, I think, third most fantasy points allowed to tight ends, around 8 targets per game to the position. So I like Kelsey the most here for sure, too. What about Cleveland? I think I've been seeing on Twitter that Tyrann Mathieu might not play in this game. That could impact someone like Austin Hooper. Kansas City, also a team that struggled against tight ends. I don't love the idea of Hooper with Odell Beckham back, and they already run a ton of 2 and 3 tight end sets in the first place. They'll try to run the football with Nick Chubb, who's 7,200 on DraftKings. On FanDuel, obviously more of an enticing play. Like, I could see Chubb running all over this team, and we saw them in that game, the playoff game last year. It's interesting how you go about facing the Chiefs. Either you just go right at them, which I think is the correct approach, or you just try to run the football and keep Mahomes off the field, which I think they tried to do in that first game. And that's going to be their philosophy, right? Like, the Bills and other teams, they'll go right at the Chiefs because their offense is built like that, to throw and score points and keep up. We know Cleveland with their offensive line and their running backs, their strength is running the football. So I think Chubb's going to get every opportunity early in this game. We just obviously know the concerns if they fall behind. But for me, like, I'm not on Baker. I'm not on Odell. I'm not on Landry. The question comes down to really Hooper and Chubb for me.
Yeah, I know. And is it a mistake not to get on these guys? I like Cleveland's defense. I think this game goes under the number. I think it could be.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised it was this high.
Yeah, it's the Chiefs, right? That's what it is, I think. And even the playoff game last year, it was low scoring. I know that Mahomes wasn't 100% and he came out of that game, but it was just, it was a grind. I really do have a lot of respect for this Cleveland defense. I don't see a lot of holes on their roster, especially on the defensive side. I thought they had one of the better drafts. I think they have the best offensive line, and according to offensive line rankings, they are the number one offensive line in football, and they can run the rock pretty well. I mean, this is another revenge game here. Kareem Hunt, an old school, once upon a time Chief. But what I noticed towards the end of last season was they scaled back from Hunt a little bit. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was because he got a bunch of work when Chubb was out, but Chubb was getting all the run towards the end of the season, especially in the playoffs. And he was catching balls out of the backfield, like 5 grabs on 5 targets in week 16. Week 17 didn't matter. First playoff game, 4 catches on 4 targets. Then against the Chiefs, he had 5 targets on 2 grabs. In the 2 playoff games, Kareem Hunt combined 2 targets and 1 catch. He really wasn't used all that much. And he's a good running back. He'd be great, as just a one. We've seen it before. But Chubb's just better. And I think it's, I think Cleveland may be realizing that we just don't want to take this guy off the field, even in a third down role, to get Hunt on there. And as good as Hunt is, it's just Chubb, I think, offers a little bit more offensively. I think he's a best pure runner in the league. I think he'll get overlooked here because of the fact that, Casey gets up here and they have Kareem Hunt. That's all anybody wants to say why they fade Chubb in a full point setting, is because Kareem Hunt could steal a couple touches around the goal line. And if they're down, he's the guy that's on the field. So I think he's an underrated play. I'm not saying if you're playing 3 lineups, you're going to want to play Chubb, but if you're playing over 10, in a big entry, I think he's a guy that could certainly get overlooked. And maybe they just have that game plan. Pfeiffer's, I agree. I think teams should attack Casey, but this to me feels like a spot where they're going to run the rock. They're going to run the football and try to keep Mahomes off the field as much as they can. I think they're going to have success running the football too.
All right, 2 games left. Before we get to that, though, we've been talking about DFS all show long. It's been great, but season long is still amazing. And awesome new site just launched today, man. TopPropSports.com. We've talked about it a lot in this podcast. It's an awesome way to add even more competitiveness to your redraft league. So what you do is you go to TopPropSports.com. Again, launched today. You import your league, whether you play on ESPN, Yahoo, CBS, whatever site you play on, import your league, invite your league mates, and then you can play weekly contests for cash prizes based on those redraft rosters. So you don't have to wait till the end of your season to win potential money and to talk even more smack. So you go over to topropsports.com. Like I said, import your league, enter your email and the code FTN. Launch today, man. It's really exciting. It's fun stuff. And we'll have content, I believe, for Top Prop Sports as well. A lot of the FTN analysts and writers have a league going, so that'll be fun to watch that as we go through the rest of the season. 2 more games here, and we'll get out of here. Denver at the Giants up next. I mean, this game kind of gross right now. You have some injuries. Evan Ingram sounds like he's not going to play. Kenny Galladay's obviously been banged up for a lot of the preseason. He's been limited in practice. Then you have Saquon Barkley, who is expected to play. Will there be a full workload? Let me ask you this. Who's your favorite play from this game?
Broncos. Broncos defense.
Okay. Makes sense. I mean, I love their defense this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not super excited about this game. It feels a lot like the LA and Washington game. I mean, Daniel Jones, 27 games, 22 interceptions, a league high 11 fumbles last season, a league high 18 fumbles in 2019. I have a lot of respect for this Broncos defense. They can generate some pressure. I like the secondary. The offensive line in New York is just, it's atrocious. And I just, even with Saquon being limited here, the line is not going to do him really any favors. And it didn't at the start of the season before he suffered the injury. Remember the first game against the Steelers? Like 15 attempts for 6 yards.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. He's a guy that could catch 5 or 6 passes. I mean, he did it in that game as well. I think it was like 6 grabs for 9. There's so many question marks when it comes to the Giants. You just talked about a couple there. I mean, Kenny Golladay is expected to be a go here, but is he going to be on a pitch count? Could he suffer a setback with the hamstring injury? He's on a new offense, again, behind a very poor offensive line. And he's been dealing with some injuries over the past couple of years. I think overall, he's like a pretty solid wideout when he's healthy, but I have a lot of question marks when it comes to him. I suppose Shepard, if I'm picking one Giant, it could be Shepard, but what's his ceiling? Right, I mean, he's a guy in the slot that could catch a few passes. I just don't see him having a monster day. I like Jerry Jeudy playing in the slot. I think it's better suited, a role that's better suited for him with the Broncos. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater has been one of the most accurate quarterbacks in the league over the past couple of years. I think getting him the football in the slot, you know, just having him under center, I think the connection will be there. You look at Jeudy last year; he was among the leaders in terms of just getting air yards and targets, also among the leaders in drops. But when you have a 14.4 ADOT, getting targeted 14 yards down the field, it's tough to reel in a majority of those catches, especially with poor quarterback play. So I think putting him in the slot, having Sutton on the outside and Hamler and maybe Tim Patrick on the other side, just having a nice role for Jeudy in the slot, is he runs great routes and he's explosive after the catch. I am interested in him. But again, this is another game, Pfeiffer. I just feel like, you know, Giants defense is pretty strong. It's decent. So I just don't see a lot of points here. I don't see a lot of upside in this game.
It's just like, where do you go? Because do you feel comfortable starting Barkley and Reed? Like, I'm getting questions about, should I start Barkley in season long? So, like, right. I don't think anybody's going to run to play him in DFS. And then it's like, okay, the Denver backfield, no thank you. I don't think you can. Like, Javonte Williams is only 4K. If you were, like, we haven't talked about a lot of value running backs, but again, it's just, you don't have to play a 4K running back on this slate.
Right.
And then I would agree, Jeudy probably has the best matchup. We expect Sutton on the outside against James Bradbury, who emerged as a legitimate, like, top tier corner last year. But again, it's just the game environment. Like, do you really want to play Kyle Rudolph if Ingram gets ruled out at 2,800? He might just block. Yeah. Like, who knows? Yeah. So this game, and Noah Fant, also banged up. They expect him to be full at practice today. Maybe you go to him, but it's not a very exciting game. So I do agree. Let's move on to the final game of the 13-game Sunday slate. Miami Dolphins at the New England Patriots. Mac Jones, the last value quarterback, maybe at 4,400. It's not a great matchup. It's not a massive upside offense for passing. Any interest in Mac Jones? And what do you think of this Patriots offense as a whole now with Mac Jones under center? And looks like they'll be pretty healthy on the offense. Jonnu's healthy. Hunter Henry's healthy. They were a little bit banged up during the preseason. And obviously, for the Miami side, we know Will Fuller will not play in this game, serving a 1-game suspension.
Yeah, this is another one that I feel like will just be an offensive struggle. I mean, the defense in New England is I think, going to be decent this year. They get some guys back. And Miami's defense played really well last year as well. You know, I think Mac Jones is, they're going to keep things simple, you know, utilize all their running backs to have some play action. I think that Jonnu is a guy that probably leads this team in targets. I know a lot of people are talking up Jacoby Myers, and I get that. It does make some sense. They also brought in Nelson Agholor and Kendrick Bourne, but Agholor is not 100% right now. So if he was limited in practice here today, but if he were to sit, then I'd get a little bit more interested in Jacoby Myers. But, you know, overall, I think my favorite play from this game, and I don't even like him that much, is Damian Harris. I mean, I do have some respect for Miami's defense. I think we can just feel better about him overall if they get inside the red zone, that he's going to get the rock. I know J.J. Taylor, you know, was strong in the preseason, but they flipped Sony Michel and then they released Cam Newton. And Cam Newton was inside the top three in goal line carries. It's including everybody in the NFL. This is a guy that just steals touchdowns from running backs. So having him off that roster, I think he can feel a little stronger about Damian Harris, that maybe he's a guy that, like, I'm trying to project a line for him, like 14 carries for 56 yards. But if he can find the end zone twice, it's like, okay, now we're talking. This could be a guy that could return value at 5'2". But overall, man, like from the New England side of things, I'd like to see this offense play out. I know that might feel like a cop-out, but I think they're going to utilize both tight ends, run some 12, but really, for the most part, keep things simple for Mac Jones, a very accurate quarterback, and can run the play action, I think, pretty decent, even without seeing him play a snap in the NFL, aside from preseason. I think he's going to be pretty good in this offense, but not a guy that I'm interested in from a fantasy standpoint. I just don't know how many games there'll be where he's like, oh, wow, he threw the ball 45 times. And
yeah,
these guys all, you know, we're racking up some yards and some touchdowns. I think they're going to keep it pretty simple for the rook.
Yeah, kind of like Damian Harris, too. Definitely more of a play on FanDuel. Obviously, his reception ceiling for like an entire season might be like 15. But he's the early down running back. He's all of a sudden has touchdown potential in that backfield. And Miami can be had on, like, their secondary is great, but you can run on them. And New England's offensive line is still very good. So I like Damian Harris from New England. And if I were to play one tight end that's not Kyle Pitts in the 4K range, it would probably be Jonnu Smith, just because I think he's a good player. And I think they're excited about the ways they can use him. For Miami, probably Jalen Waddle. Again, another rookie receiver that's cheap. He's not the minimum. He's 3,600. So there is a difference there. But obviously being without Will Fuller should help him. I also like Miami's defense, 2,900. If you don't like to go all the way up, but also don't like to, we haven't really talked about defenses either. Like, no. The Vikings are good. You mentioned, Denver. I don't hate Miami either. Against a rookie quarterback in his first start. But other than that, like, not too interested in Gesicki at his price tag. Miles Gaskin at 6K, two at 5'4". No, thank you. Again, even without Stephon Gilmore, like, and especially because, like, Bill Belichick's had months to prepare for this game.
I know.
Like, yeah. Usually doesn't bode well for the opposing offense. So these last two games, we kind of sped through, but
yeah,
they're the lowest totals of the slate these last two games. So
yeah, like, they're overall, like, interesting games. Like, you're right. I mean, the 4 o'clock games, I mean, there's some good matchups, and this one could be entertaining. I see it as a bit of a grind. You're right. I mean, Bill Belichick to have months to prepare for Tua, right? And he held him in check last time. And I know this is a bit of a different offense. It wasn't catered to Tua last year, and they brought in some new weapons. But you mentioned Will Fuller is not going to play here in this contest. I just don't see a significant ceiling from him. The Waddle call is good. You know, he's going to play in the slot. Those two are familiar with each other. He's 3'6". He's a guy, too, like Rondell Moore, who, you know, is just going to have a role right away, and he could fall into maybe 6 or 7 grabs here. I could see that, right? Parker's not even 100%. I know he's off the injury report, but
is he ever?
That's what I was just going to say. Is he ever? Like, he's a guy that can just disappear in this game, and they're just like, oh, where's Parker? And they're not Fuller, and it's like a lot of maybe Waddle in the slot or maybe a couple checkdowns to Gaskin or Gesicki. But yeah, man, I hate to say this again, but this is another one. Like, there's three that I've basically crossed off.
There's 13 games. We can't sit here and talk about loving all of them.
Yeah,
and the one thing I'll add before we get out of here, another piece of intrigue with Miami's defense, they have Jakeem Grant and Jalen Waddle returning punts. That's pretty damn electric.
Yeah.
You have a pretty decent shot of getting a special teams touchdown. Not that I'm projecting one, but just adds that little bonus there for you. But Chris Meany, man, this was fun, man. We went an hour and a half again, 13 game slate. Appreciate you taking the time, man. Means the world. Just happy to be back on the grind. But before we get out of here, talk about shows, articles, anything that you have, because it's a lot over at FTN Fantasy, not only for week one, but, you know, over the course of the season, obviously, as we go through. Starting week one tonight, man. I'm excited.
Oh, man. Super jazzed to be doing the show with you. I was pumped when you asked me. So, like, anytime you need, man, it'll be great to chop it up with you. Love the pod. You guys are absolutely crushing it, and it's just fun to talk football with you for sure. Yeah, it's a lot going on, man, at FTN. I mean, from a betting standpoint, a fantasy standpoint, a daily standpoint, it's all happening. I'll have an FTN bet show on Sunday morning with Elliot Chris and Matthew Friedman, and then on Fridays I'll check in with Blickle and Chris as well, a bit of a DFS show, a quick pace, and kind of run through our top plays and that we like. And yeah, man, Mean Streets is a free show every day at noon Eastern, and we're going to feature a lot of FTN minds. Hopefully yourself, we'll roll through some waivers and some stats to know, things that you're taking care of at FTN, and we'll hit up some bets, and we'll do rankings on Wednesday, and we'll do start and sit questions on Thursday and on Friday. We'll have lots of props, and we'll have lots of bets for people out there. And yeah, I'm just happy it's here, man. Like, it's, I know we've had this conversation before, you and I, but it just felt like year one went by so fast. And,
I know.
And it's gone, and now we're into year two, and just the progress that we have just alone on our site. And it's totally worth it, man, to be part of the FTN fam. And yeah, man, just I'm super excited. I'm super excited. And all the tools are so awesome. I know we just touched on a couple, but we'll have some fun on this show. Just really breaking down, what FTN has to offer and how you can get the edge and hopefully win some cash for you guys. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, exciting times. Again, appreciate Meany coming on. Make sure you're following him on Twitter at Chris Meany. For week two, I already have John Daigle from NBC Sports Edge. He'll be stopping by to break down the week two slate. So he's been on the pod before. Awesome guy. Excited to talk to him. Real quick, one word answer before we get out of here, Meany. Who scores the first touchdown of the 2021 season?
Gronk.
it would be fitting, right? I'm going to go CeeDee Lamb just because I want it to be CeeDee Lamb, but I feel like Gronk might actually be the favorite despite having so many good players in this game. Very possibly Gronk could be the favorite, and it would be fun on Twitter. That's going to be fun too, Twitter during the first game of the season. I'm excited. Excited to have this podcast. Appreciate Meany. Appreciate everybody at FTN. Of course, appreciate everybody listening. If Friday we'll have a start set episode for back to redraft and season long, and then hopefully you guys can have a great week one, win some money, and get off to a great start. For Meany, I'm Adam. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys on Friday.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.